Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, our Father, we talked about this at the very beginning. You and I are not just citizens of the kingdom of God. We are his children. Something special about that. The angels have a relationship with God, but our relationship with God is higher, is different. Not because of you, but because of the King himself. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God, a God that is the greatest of all. Hallowed be thy name. The holiness of God. We talked about that. The holiness of God, that we understand a holy God who is righteous and just, who condemns sin, is a God who is equally love and good, benevolent, and gracious. And he has reconciled you to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. One act of grace settles the mercy, settles the wrath of God so that we might find mercy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A kingdom. What comprises a kingdom? You see, a kingdom must have a ruler. Must have a ruler. The one who has the right or the authority. You see, a ruler is one that exercises supreme authority within a limited sphere. That's interesting definition, isn't it? Especially when you consider God. God doesn't have a limited sphere by which he rules. He rules all. He has the right to rule all. Why? Because nothing exists except that which comes from the Word of God itself. He speaks and it exists. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be, all the way down to the point that he began to fashion and mold us out of the dirt of the ground. And he breathed into us life, the image of God. You and me. What is man that you're mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you take such great thought of him. You've created us lower than the angels, but you have exalted us with what? With glory. You who were created by God, were created for a special relationship. The great commandment is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love because he first loved us. A king, a ruler who exercises authority. So a kingdom needs a ruler, but it also needs a realm. That which he rules over. More than just simply a location. We read in this passage that he rules from heaven above. Now, that's interesting. Why? You see, God governs everything that there is by one of two things. The first thing he rules over simply by the design that he has made things. He has made the universe and all that is in the universe, and it all functions in an order, in a purpose, in laws. The physical laws of the universe govern how the universe functions. The moral laws among man that are innate in our hearts take place because of a God who has designed. The first institution God designed was what? Marriage. He designed marriage for the purpose of bringing life into the world and for a purpose of that life to know him. Design. But he also governs through providence, providential fiat. In other words, as history moves itself along the waves of life, God intervenes for his plans, his purposes. Have you read the book of Daniel, haven't you? Do you remember the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, of the statue, the four great empires, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome? God orchestrated all of that, didn't he? Amazing. That God intervenes in the course of time and history to bring about his purpose providentially. He rules over a realm, heaven above, earth below. A realm, a ruler, a realm, and then a reign. This is God exercising that authority. We call it sovereignty. God is a sovereign God. In God's sovereignty, he controls all that there is. Ooh, watch, I gotta get some shoes. He governs. Nothing can thwart the will or the plans of God. There have been times in the course of history where there's been that attempt, even prehistory, even in heaven. The angel of light himself, who had everything, one of the archangels, who had the love and the care and the resources of God in heaven that God had made, out of the pride of his heart, desired to become God, to want the control. So he and a third of the angels revolted against God. But how can you conquer a ruler who has everything? How can you conquer an all-powerful God? And so Lucifer and the angels were defeated, becoming the devil and his demons. Here's the thing I know about the sovereignty of God that you need to understand about the sovereignty of God today. No matter what happens in this world, nothing happens without God permitting it to happen. Now, I know what you're thinking. That can be pretty somber, because there's a lot of bad things that happen in this world. And it's not that God wants bad things to happen. Bad things happen for one of two reasons. This is getting off script. But it's okay, because my wife's not there. Bad things happen for one of two reasons. First reason, the evil of our own hearts. The evil in our own hearts. We are the ones who have walked away from God, who goes against his design. And it's the evil of our own hearts that causes bad things to happen. That's first. And it's because of the evil of our own hearts that God has already begun to unleash his judgment on this world. And throughout the course of history, we see that judgment being exercised through the evil of man. Guess what free will does? That's what free will is. That's first. So we bring evil on ourselves. don't we? When Charlie Kirk was shot, he was shot by a man who brought evil on himself, right? And that's the judgment of God on this world right now. There's one day coming a judgment of God where God will say, enough, enough. And history will end. And evil will be overcome. That's coming. And as long as we're in this world, it is going to be the balance of good and evil. Here's the thing, folks. Forget my notes. Here's the thing. And I want you to hear this, because this is talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God that will come. But here's the thing. Until the kingdom of God comes, it is us. It is you and me who mediate the goodness of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We mediate because we are the chosen ones of God, the church. Jesus says, forget the slides because I'm all over the place. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Right? In a world of darkness, we are the ones that bring light. How do we bring light? Through the gospel itself. We're the only hope for this world. Don't think a president is ever going to bring hope. Don't think a dignitary is ever going to bring hope. Your hope, my hope, is in only one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He mediates between us and the Father who sits on his throne, sovereignly carrying out his will. You're the light of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. God's will is done through us for this world. God's will is done through us in this world. Let me explain that to you. As you grow in your relationship with Christ, that becomes an example for the world of the existence of God, of the love of God, and of the purpose of God. Jenna, listen to me a second. And y'all can put your ear in here at the same time. Your marriage to Caleb, if you do it under God's leading and guidance, will not only be a blessing to you, but it will be a light to a world of how a marriage should be. Christian men, you should be the best husbands on the face of the earth. Christian women, you should be the best wives on the face of the earth. Showing your children and showing others in the world, your neighbors, what it means, what love truly is. That's hard. Marriage is hard. But done right, it's a witness to a fallen world. It's a witness to a fallen world. I'm rambling in my head right now as I think about this even more. Thy kingdom come on earth, thy will be done on earth as... Oh, I know what I wanted to say about that. We got it confused. We got it confused. We think Jesus came and died so that God would give to us that God exists for my pleasure, for his pleasure. My pleasure, that God exists so that when I pray, he gives me whatever I want. James says, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask with selfish motives. When we pray, we're to pray according to what? Not the will of John, but the will of God. And when we do pray, we should pray for anything and everything that is in our hearts. But when you do that, that gives you the peace of God. Why do you get the peace of God? Because when you pray, even in the brokenness of your life, and many of us have broken things going on in our lives, when you give up your brokenness to God, he gives you his peace, that his will is going to be done. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. To those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. What is God's will for you? Is it to be happy? Wealthy? There are places throughout the world today, that's the message they're preaching. God's will for you, first and foremost, is to be saved, is to be reconciled with him. 2 Peter 3 says this. It says that God is slow in bringing about his judgment. Why? Because it's not his desire that any should perish, but that all should come to Christ. All should come to repentance. His desire for you is to know Jesus. His desire for you is to be reconciled with him and everyone else. He wants you first to be reconciled with him. Secondly, as we just said, his desire is that you become like Jesus. He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his beloved Son. What does that mean? It means our thoughts become like the thoughts of Jesus, right? What was Jesus bent on doing? What was he bent on doing? You know it. I know it. He knelt there in the garden and he prayed, Father, let this cup pass by me. But not my will. But your will be done. Very few people in this world have ever suffered like the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. But that suffering was necessary according to the will of God so that you and I would be saved. Sometimes the will of God is suffering, isn't it? Sometimes the will of God is hard. Not because God wants it to be hard, but because God, in doing that, does something far greater for his glory. Ever since I came here, I haven't ceased to pray for Cord. I've asked God, why? Why? This little boy will never run like other little boys. This little boy will grow up not experiencing a lot of the things that other children are able to experience. He won't. Not even with the greatest surgeries, he won't. And I ask why. And I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. Neither do you. But I pray, God, your will be done. Just as it is in heaven, your will be done in this little boy's life. And I pray for him that God will do great things through him. That God will be so gracious to him. You know what I look forward to? I have lots of friends that I know that I say to God, I am so excited about what the stories will be on the other side. I have a dear friend, his name is Carl. He's schizophrenic, severely schizophrenic. And I just think, what is it going to be like, God, when we're in heaven and he's in his right mind? What is he going to say? And I look at this with Cord. One day he will be in heaven, completely whole. And the stories he will tell, the love of Christ that he will relate to us because of what God has done in his life. The will of God. It is not God's will for us to be happy. It's the will of God for us to be loved and to experience the fullness of his love in spite of a world that is hostile to him, in spite of a world that has been condemned by him. It is God's will that you be saved. It is God's will that you become like Jesus. And it is God's will that you tell others about Jesus Christ. Beginning with your family. Beginning with your family. Dan knows this. Dan knows that the greatest ministry he has is that boy beside him. Dan knows that with every one of his children, and especially that new one that's on its way, that the most important thing that he can do is bring them to a saving faith in Christ. It begins in the family. It then spreads out to those that you know. You all have your own so-called neighborhoods, your people that you're in contact with. You are to love them to Christ. And then it exceeds beyond that through your prayers and your support to Utah. Some of you may end up in Utah, but wait till after I'm gone. Okay? Or to the othermost parts of the world. There's another piece to that. And I told you, we're salt and light in this world. I told you, I'm kind of rambling. We're salt and light in the world. How do we are to stand up for the moral truths of society. If anybody should be shouting for the lives of the unborn, it better be us. Because every child is precious in God's sight, even those in the womb. It is us who should be coming alongside of these children who are being confused by a world that leads them from God to who they are. We're the voice that speaks out to God's design. Male and female, He created them. But how do we do it? Can I tell you something? What's the saying? You don't win friends by... I don't know. I can't even remember. So forget that line. Let me just go right to the punchline. We do it by seizing our conversation with grace. It's not about winning the debate. I can win the debate. Jesus didn't send me here to win the debate. He sent me here to lead people to Him. To Him. When we stand up for truth, don't compromise truth. And whenever having the opportunity to speak out for truth, you speak out loud, you speak out clearly, but with compassion, with compassion. That's His will. Sometimes we have a prophetic voice, but don't let the prophetic voice go without grace. Go without grace. With every confrontation, there should be a message of joy and love and peace. Always. Abortion is evil. Abortion is wrong. Why? Because God has given us life. And not only does He give us life here temporally, He gives us life eternally. Isn't that our message? I got a dear friend. He's becoming a dear friend. I don't think he thinks he's a dear friend, but he is. Doesn't know Christ. Doesn't want to know Jesus. Gets upset when I bring Jesus up. Doesn't stop me from doing it. In fact, it's very strange. He seems to want to hear it, but not hear it. We get together for lunch periodically. I promised myself, in fact, I promised him I would not bring it up. I'm not bringing Jesus up anymore. You know, Rod, you know. I'm not bringing it up. He brings it up. He'll make a statement that'll open that door and I'm running right through it. Talking some to him about what faith is. He thinks faith is some blind leap like I almost did there. I keep doing this to him. I said, faith isn't without an object. I don't believe blindly, Ron. I believe in a historical man named Jesus Christ who died and rose again and is the author of eternal life. What is God's will? God's will is that you be saved. God's will is that you become like Jesus. God's will is that you share the gospel. And God's will is that whatever you do, you season it with grace. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for being with us today. Lord, I just pray for those who may not know you, that they would come into a living relationship with you today. I pray for us that you will help us become more like you. that you would literally use everything in our lives, including suffering, to burn off the dross of sin so that we may walk purely in your sight. Lord, you've given us your grace personally. Now let us as a church extend grace to a lost world. It's in your name we pray.